Nice.
Cool.
Pat, you want to count us in?
Count us in?
For, like, the clap.
When do we ever count? Oh.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
That seemed bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
That could have been our best yet. I don't know.
All right. Everybody clap on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
All
right. No, everybody, 1, 2, 3, clap. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Clap.
Best one yet.
It's the International Punk Supply Radio Show, the only radio show dedicated to bringing you disc greatest punk hits. Today on the mics we got DJ Riffmaster General.
Hello, hello, hello.
The one and only DJ Jim Guys.
Hi.
Mr. DJ Better Yet.
Baby. Baby, I'm so excited for this podcast.
DJ Little Tokyo.
I haven't showered for 3 weeks just to get ready for this pod.
And the one and only DJ Hollywood. I would just like to put a quick disclaimer up that currently none of us are wearing shoelace headbands nor bullet belts. However, this show is this show. Also alternately titled War Bad. That's right. We're playing D-beat tracks only today, folks.
Disode 16.
Do you guys remember when Havoc Records sold bullet belts?
I do.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought about buying one so frequently in high school. I never pulled the trigger, probably for the best. But man, did I want one of those bullet belts.
You guys know me. I never dressed like a punk, patchy punk kind of in that vein. But I always really wanted a bullet belt. And I still wanted to like wear like youth crew shit at the same time. And I was just like, oh man, like it would be so cool to have a bullet belt. They're fucking awesome. But I also, you know, think they would go really well with my dunks.
It might not meet people's expectations of you.
Wrong episode, bro.
You're more of like a thrash guy then.
Yeah,
you know, it's true. If you have like high tops and a bullet belt.
Oh, well, that's me personally, in 2022, as a person who works from home and has a little bit of disposable income, purchased this Discharge shirt from a bootleg website, because that's something you can do, and you can support bootleg screen printers. And I like Discharge and DB enough to just like kind of have like a passing interest in it. So I'm kind of stoked to be here as the one who never thought about buying a bullet belt, but did buy a Discharge shirt fairly recently because, yeah, I like Discharge. Yeah, cool. It says Discharge, too. That's pretty funny. Like, I don't have to wear it to the office or anything.
I do appreciate that.
So you guys want to know something funny about Discharge? So in Japan, in Japanese, like kind of the translation for giving birth is discharge. And so I've had some Japanese friends who have talked to me like in English and being like, my wife is discharging the baby soon. And so.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was good. So yeah, it's about 2 months until my wife discharges our baby. So looking forward to that.
Born moshin'.
Also like to let the listener know that that's the closest that we will get on this podcast to referencing the name Discharge and the, you know, dictionary definition of discharge, jokes about a discharge, none of that, none of that. We're only bringing the hits on the International Punk Supply.
It's already off to a great start.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of starts, we started that off with Extended Hell, New York's own, with the track Armchair Killers off of 2017, self-titled 7-inch. I think the thing I love the most about Extended Hell is that they were so in the pocket of D-Beat, so to speak, the whole time. Just ripping. Ripping, ripping. So.
You got other tracks for us, Patrick? I mean, that was a good one. I like that. That's 2017, huh? They're carrying the flag of the D-Beat.
Yeah, but they already broke up.
Oh, okay. So somebody else got to pick that. I think, honestly, like, that is one of the coolest things about D-Beat is the fact that it is its own genre, that it's, like, pretty fucking blatant about what it's doing, but it's also, I think, very progressive. It's very interested in expanding its own fucking form, and I think that that's cool. I think that that's something that really, like, all art should strive for. And when you find, I'm not even kidding. I know Pat's laughing, and I know that, like, in general, I can be a little silly, but when you look at, like, this world, I think that there's something really powerful in the fact that it is so progressive and it is so committed to continuing something that started in the fucking, what, 80s? Late 70s? Where does this shit come from, y'all?
80s.
80s.
Early probably. 80s.
Although, maybe, you could argue when maybe. First, it appears earlier.
The Acne demos from Discharge were like 77. I think.
Oh man, those Discharge demos are wild. They just sound like a band trying to be the Sex Pistols. It's awesome. It's so good.
Tim, fight. I appreciate that little.
I agree with Tim too. It's like there's reverence for the past, but they also everybody steps up in their own little way.
Yeah, you
it
guys.
It is an avant-garde community, very much so. It should be taken that seriously, I think.
Patrick and Dylan, did you guys play with Extended Hell when they played Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We bummed everybody the fuck out.
It was great. It was really great.
No go to us. It was all slow, and everybody was like...
But that was still when we primarily sounded like Godflesh, so some people were in it. I remember talking to the bassist of Extended Hell, and he was like, "That was so sick," and then he proceeded to talk to me about current DB bands. So,
still though, yeah. Like playing a show where like you know that you're not hitting what the crowd wants.
It's the best,
but you know that you're best great. Feeling. Kind of the best.
Yep.
Best feeling.
All right, so we're going to go into the next charged rock of block with Infernos and Dödlig Afar. track from Disclose with Armed for Killing off of Nightmare or Reality. Before that, we heard Anti-Cymex, one of the four fathers of the beat, with their decidedly non-beat song, Painkiller.
Man, you want to talk about progressive D-beat? That is a progressive track.
I know, it was like 4 minutes long.
And before that, we heard 1986.
It was,
which I can just say, I just want to point out that there's, man, the when you hear something like that, that's from 1986, and it sounds so fucking progressive and punishing, and it really does sound like a band you could see today, and I think sonically the recording holds up the way that it does. That's the type of shit that makes this whole world special, is when you, like, go to something that's at the forefront of it and it sounds so fucking modern. I mean, it's like watching Ric Flair in the 80s and just being like, oh my God.
we'll get to Anti-Cymex in a moment. I appreciate that, though. Before Anti-Cymex, we heard from Ashes Rise the song Silence off of a self-titled record affectionately referred to as Silence. We had Japan's one and only Frampted with Life is Hard from Under the Ashes. And we started that charged block with Inferno. I can't. It's off the 7th Spar 7-inch or LP. So, yeah.
10-inch.
No, it's an LP. It's a 12-inch. I own it. Thank you.
There's a 10-inch version of that, I think.
Really?
I think so.
10 inches are so stupid.
The most screamo of formats.
Hey, wow. Come on, watch what you say.
Favorite most, Boiler Man release.
The most screamo of formats.
It is.
No, and
exactly. That's why the Boiler Man 10-inch is the best.
No, the 8-inch is the most screamo release. You got to, like, 10-inch is, like, just...
Is it
normal,
or is the CDR the most screamo release?
The tiny CDR that would only fit in what was it, like a 3-inch?
The 3-inch CDR.
Mini CD player.
Or if you get it just right when you put it into your car stereo. If you put it right in the
dangerous
center.
Game.
I was wrong too. It's just a 12-inch. Never mind.
It's okay.
But what we've learned is that the Boiler Man 10-inch is the best Boiler Man release.
That's very true. Very true.
So tell us about Inferno, because that song has a funny spelling in the title. It's almost as if it's in a different language.
Maybe possibly a Swedish language?
Oh. Guten Tag. Speaking to our international listeners in Finland and Norway, Scandinavia.
Guten Tag.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I've always wanted to visit your country.
Yeah, Inferno's from Sweden. I can't remember how I found out about that record, however, when it was released in, I think, 2012 or 2013, top tier band of the current time when they were around. I know Dylan and I are both obsessed with that record. So I remember bringing that over to Joey's house when he lived on California and Armitage.
Ooh.
Telling him, you got to hear this shit. Guess who didn't give a shit? Joey.
Was that true? I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like you're confirming that it was true. Because you don't remember.
Ooh. Damn. Ooh. Well, that rips. So I may have been dumb back in the day.
I mean, that's arguably true.
I'm still dumb, but I like that record.
Yeah. And then, oh, man, Frampted. They came alive on that one.
Oh, God damn it.
When did that record come out?
Well done.
Thank you. That was 2002.
Oh, okay.
From Japan.
From Osaka.
Yeah, tell us about that, because that was a ripper too.
I mean, Japan, I feel like, excels in crusty D-beat hardcore. Would you agree with that, Joey?
Being the only person in Japan at the moment of the five of you, I'm an authority, and I say yes.
So 2002, when we're talking about DB, we're talking about Japan. Are there good eras? Is 2002 like a particularly prominent time? You're looking at pretty much smack in the middle of the DB timeline. How does 2002 compare to the 80s? How does it compare to the 2020s?
Well, I think for Japan, it's been omnipresent.
Yeah.
Yeah. 80s through now, there's always been good ones going.
There's always been the contingent riding hard for the beat.
That super fucking noisy. Rules, man. That's so cool.
Like the band Life, who's been around since, like, I think 89, Joey?
I saw their 25th anniversary show, like, and that was like three or four years ago.
Yeah, who sounds very similar to Frampton, only maybe a little more crusty.
They're crustier, for sure.
Now, Tim, what's the difference between crusty and DB?
That's a great question for you to answer. Well, why don't we ask Jim or Dylan? Like, when you're thinking of making the distinction between crusty and DB, how are we making that distinction?
Is it measured by your butt flaps?
Does your butt flap hang low? I mean, well, like, crusty, I think of like dystopia or something, where there's like sludgy parts and like, you know, dystopia in particular. Like, there's like chorus or flange on the bass and like, you know, but there, I don't know. There's not like DB. Well,
those are two distinct things. Those are like,
yeah.
So don't like feel like you have to search for a third, because like, how many fucking subgenres of music can be defined by, at least subgenres of punk can be defined by flange on the bass? I think you made a pretty fucking big distinction there. And also, you know, we got into a little discussion on the chat, and I don't want to give anything away for the folks listening at home, but I'd say we have a pretty, we do have a missing entry in our collective show here. That is going to be made a little bit more obvious by an entry that is included. this is going to be a song that Joey picks, everybody. Okay. When I think of a crusty band, I think of tragedy. Yeah. Yes. I think of tragedy, and I think of those crust parts.
Yeah.
And that like impending doom factor does loom like super large on that music. It's all like post-apocalyptic.
Well, and related to tragedy, or the other band that will remain unnamed, From Ashes Rise, from the same family tree of bands, also one of the progenitors of Stadium Crust.
Yeah, I would think of them as more of a crust band. When I think of crust, I think of longer songs too. Like, same. There's usually a D-beat involved. But not always, but, you know, I think, like, you're not often getting a 3.5 or 4 minute D-beat song, but you can easily get, like, a 4 minute crust song. Even when they're just, like, an Oz Rotten song that just repeats the parts 4 times in a row, you know?
A very simple kind of boiled down way I think of it is that D-beat is more punk. And crust is a little bit more metally.
Well, yeah, so totally. DB pulls from Discharge, crust pulls from Amoebix.
Mm-hmm. Mm. There's solos. There's like long extended solos in crust, I feel like.
And longer parts too. Yeah. I feel like what's in my head is, if you want to like tell the difference between DB and crust, and correct me if I'm wrong here, y'all are much more knowledgeable than I, but I could see somebody playing in a D-beat band, and I'm seeing very tight black clothes throughout. But if I'm watching a crust band, maybe there's a couple people in that band who have looser fitting t-shirts that are cut and like hanging a little bit more. How would that work? As like, I'm onto something, right? Maybe a little bit more of like,
no, you know,
near dread headlock.
There's dreads.
Yeah, there's.
That's the difference between D-beat and crust. Is dreads.
You're not
charged right. Hair or dreads.
So from right. Ashes Rise, dreads.
No,
certainly, no. Right?
Tragedy dreads.
Maybe at one time.
No. At okay.
Maybe at one point.
All right.
I don't think either of those bands had. Well, the bassist of From Ashes Rise could have had. He had longer hair, but I don't think so.
Let's talk about From Ashes Rise, because this is a band that you introduced me to, Patrick, and I think that they're fucking awesome. And I want to say that I'm probably going to reveal myself to be a shill for Stadium Crust on this show.
That's okay.
Yeah.
From Ashes Rise, I would say of the Stadium Crust or this time frame, they were one of my favorite bands for a very long time. They have an impeccable discography, not including like the reunion 7-inch they did, but I don't know. If you love that, check out the split with Victims. Again, same group of people, like play with Tragedy and His Hero Is Gone. They moved from Memphis with those guys to Portland. And like the great exodus of Memphis. I mean, it's just, they're all pulling from the same spot, same group of people. It's yeah. Maybe a little bit more accessible than, say, Tragedy, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Crust and then, is I picked, Portland.
Sorry.
What's that?
I was just going to say Crust is Portland. D-Beat is
Crust Migration.
D-Beat is London.
And then, yeah, we played a track from the Forefathers of the beat Anti-Semex with their long, long rockin' Painkiller song.
How do we feel about Scandinavian Jawbreaker by Anti-Semex? Because I love it.
It's definitely good. Metal. It's more metal.
Yeah, it's not. I think it's the formula for, like, Wolf Brigade and some of, like, the more real Stadium Crust stuff that you see. Later Disfear.
Driller Killer. Oh, that's dudes from Anti-Semex, right?
Now, Scandian Jawbreaker came out on Discipline. Is Discipline D-beat?
Well, you have to be pretty disciplined to ride that crash the whole time.
I just think that Discipline would be it's a shame if it's not exclusively D-beat bands on Discipline, because I think that is a low-key great name for a D-beat record label.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, man.
All right.
Let's kick it over to Jimothy.
Wait, we didn't talk about Disclose. I actually have... Oh. I wanted to... I once saw on VLV Kawakami's stage plot for when he would tour, and he had two amps, and he would have one that was... He, like, drew it on a piece of notebook paper, like... And it was, like, one amp. It was just, like, this is my guitar or whatever. And then the other one, he wrote, like, this little note on the other amp, and it was just, like, just noise. It's just fuzz. Fucking awful or something like that.
Oh. Tim, we don't want to go too long on this, but you should look into the mythos of Disclose, because it's pretty brilliant. It's
cool.
A Japanese guy who passed away, unfortunately, but literally just ripped Discharge off the whole time.
I think they might be the best Discharge ripoff band.
Oh, 100%.
I think they do it the best. Like, I think they're closest.
I've listened to Disclose before, and they were one of those bands that, when I was first discovering DB, I looked at the name and I was like, this can't be like great. This could be like, yeah, maybe like B+ tier. And then I heard it, I was like, oh shit, this is like some of the best.
Yeah.
This is some of my favorite DB. So noisy. So cool.
All right, Jimothy, where are we at?
What's up? sticking in Japan, we're going to do Kriegshog with Just Because.
Just because.
heard D-Beat by Merkit, preceded by Some of All Vices by Wolf Brigade. And before that was Skit System with, I think it's pronounced Helvet Martian. I think it might mean Hell March, because I think Helvet means hell, based on my Scandinavian black metal knowledge, which might lead me to extremely mistranslate that word.
I love that
Thoughts
track.
On I love the Wolf Brigade. That is the most important thing to me. How did everybody feel about the Wolf Brigade song?
No dice.
Real quick, Tim's muted.
Probably for the best. I moshed. That's what I had to say.
I saw that.
I fucking moshed.
That's good.
It was good.
Impossible not to.
I don't know. I still don't know.
So
I've been in the car with you listening to Wolf Brigade plenty of times before, and I liked a lot of it more than that song.
That's reasonable.
So, like, I didn't care for that song too much. There's some stuff that I've liked, but I've never been a person who went back to it on my own. But, yeah. It's, like, fine. I, like, not offended by it, but, you know. Yeah. It's not necessarily for me. Too epic.
Yeah, I feel like Wolf Brigade and later Disfear kind of both... Like, epic is a good word. Maybe more Motorhead or rockin'. But it just kind of, in a genre that sounds literally all the same, it sounds a little too samey for me.
Interesting.
Let's hear the other side, because I know we got Dylan. Dylan's going to ride for Wolf Brigade.
I do like the rocking parts at the end.
I'm pro rocking.
I'll give that track a thumbs up. I think Jim is going to break me on Wolf Brigade.
Oh. Hey, one out of two. That ain't bad, Jim.
Yeah, I was also used to just, like, I don't like Disfear, and I didn't care for anything I heard by Wolf Brigade, but I did like that one.
Dylan, have you ever listened to early Disfear?
I don't think so.
Give their first two records a try. That's what Extended Hell specifically pull from. For sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They get a lot more stadium as they go on.
Yeah, those Disfear like the does. First two records are not stadium at all. It's just pure charge. I said this in the chat. The first time I ever heard the Kriegshag LP, I was like kind of scared. It's so eerie and it's so weird. Yeah.
That was incredible. My favorite song that you played, Jim. I thought that was like immediately. When I do these, I like to write everything down and I like to give it a grade, and usually it just starts with an A and it ends up as an A plus, an A, or an A minus. But yeah, that was an A plus for me. I just immediately was like, I want to hear more from this band. They seem to have a world that they like to create, and that's cool.
The whole record's perfect. It was,
yeah.
I mean, I love that song because I love that vocal thing. The vocal solo at the end, I think that's super, super good. But I mean, you can't go wrong with just that record start to finish. It's perfect. They have other good stuff too, but that one's the best.
They Hardcore also had hell. Such a unique sound. Like, I can't, like, if someone's like, oh, what's another band that sounds like Kriegshag? I'd be like, I don't know.
That riff in particular is like not a typical D-beat thing.
No.
Yeah. Skit System.
Skit System!
So good.
Fucking love Skit System.
Classic. Members of At the Gates and Disfear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was that with Thomas singing though? Because I know they've had a few different vocals. All right.
Yeah, I think they have two vocalists for most of the time in the band. That one was Thomas, pretty sure.
Cool.
They sound pretty similar, but he has a pretty decent voice.
I'm just thinking about this show and like all that it encompasses, and you should point out that the favorite label of this podcast, La Vida S.U.N. Moose put out that Creakshog record.
Yeah, they did.
I think that might have been a reissue.
Really,
I don't remember.
They did the reissue, but the black and white 7-inch was on there.
Mm-hmm.
They also reissued Frampton and Disclosed Records.
Mm.
It's true.
They can't miss.
They can't.
They can't, they won't. Also on HG Fact, which is a great Japanese label.
Hell yeah.
Very cool. What does everyone think of Merkit?
Yeah.
Because
I know
Merkit.
Where the fuck did this come from?
So, Jim went meta on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, Merkit is a band that I thought about when picking songs for these, but they're one of those bands where they definitely have D-beat elements, but they kind of sound more like, they start out kind of sounding more like Left 4 Dead with D-beat in it, and they end up being like much more their own thing. They're a Florida band. People from that went on to that band Panzram, if anybody is familiar with that band. I can't recommend them as a band enough. I'm a big pusher of Merkit, but it is hard to find their stuff online for whatever reason. I think their discography, or maybe their split with Ombrinus Dudes, is on YouTube somewhere. But yeah, they're just a Florida hardcore band that they were doing a split 7-inch and they wanted to do a D-beat song, so they just did a straight up D-beat worship
and
D-beat
song. And it's
called
D-beat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about
so
war
good.
Being bad. They called it D-beat. It's got a blazing solo in it. It's about, you know, it's the right length. It's the right vibe. They just did a good job.
Honestly, a gimmick that, like, more bands should do. If you're a band that sounds like one thing, but you really want to do a fucking D-beat song, just call the song D-beat, and everybody will fucking love what you're doing.
What I think we'll revisit that in one of Joey's tracks too, with the most ultimate of I don't know how you would describe them, but we'll talk about that later.
I could go on for days about
copycats.
The history. Of like copycats, or like the kind of like jokey tracks where you're trying to do one thing and it ends up becoming a fucking classic, like that Plastic Bertrand song, C'est Plein Pour Moi, that you all know, but you don't know by the name of it.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
That fucker just like saw punk happening and was like, that shit is silly. I could write one of those songs like that. And then he did. Mm. And it's a fucking banger.
Covered by many.
Mm-hmm. I would cover that song if I was in a band and I was playing a show and we had a couple more minutes left. Why not?
Hell yeah. Everyone should check out Merkit if you can find it. They toured a ton in like the late aughts. Boilerman played with them a couple times.
Oh, sweet.
One time, twice.
We played with Panzram. We never played with Merkit.
Oh, that's right. They did our show in Fort Myers though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they definitely did tour a lot. They played Northwest Indiana for sure. They played Grand Rapids. They played Chicago.
Also, the drummer did a tour with Weekend Nachos.
Yeah, true. He did the Punish and Destroy tour right after that LP came out. He drummed for them.
Yep.
I'm the only human being that was never in Weekend Nachos.
It's true.
For just like a second.
Let me tell you, it was very fun.
The Beach End Machos. Sure.
Yeah. Let's fucking do this next block of rock.
Viagra Boys. This is a fucking D-beat song, everybody.
Hell yeah. A live D-beat song.
Yep. With saxophone. We'll be right back.
Yeah!
Oh yeah. Close it out with this close. I just had to pick a shitty D beat band to put on here that did the Grave New World vocals. I wanted to do all joke stuff, but then I couldn't.
Dude, it's funny you say that, because I was, when listening to like the Viagra Boys, it really like cemented the fact that I think an underrated aspect to D beat and to crust is that it's fucking, it is hilarious. Like when I hear great D beat, I do laugh. Like I do, there's a joy that comes out of me when I hear this specific type of music that I don't think people talk about that type of reaction they get enough. Cause I think that that's worth analyzing, that you have music that can like make you laugh because of like how good it is at doing what it's doing and how wild it is. I love that Viagra Boys song, I have to say. I'm sure that there are other people in this chat who have had this experience. I saw that name and I was like, I don't know if I want to check that band out. But that was fucking awesome.
Yeah. They're all like old heads from like, they all were in D beat bands.
Hell like, yeah.
The bass player and drummer. And then their old guitar player were in this band, Nitad, that was just a straight D beat band.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all like old D beat dudes, but then now they play this stuff. And I everybody says the same thing. They're like, that's the dumbest band name I've ever heard, but I love them.
Yeah, they're pretty great. I do love the friend of the show, Maddie's story about working at the Bottle when they played, and he was purposely playing Skit System, and they like walked up to him and they were like, Skit System!
They were all so stoked that they came into the Bottle and Skit System was on.
And then Maddie said, Guten Tag!
Yeah.
Because he loves the Swedes.
Yeah. And then did I pick the Deep Wound song? Because that's Jay Maskus, right? Playing drums?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. That's cool.
And Lou playing guitar, I believe.
I think so.
Why would they start another band together? That makes no sense. The two people who don't get along more than any two people who are in bands say, that's like Noel and Liam starting a side project while they're still in Oasis. Like, what the
fuck? But this was before.
They were, that was before Dino. They were like teens. Like,
yeah, ooh, yeah. They were little young babies.
Dude, all right. That makes sense. But I get, man.
Yeah, I know.
Poor Lou. Poor Lou. Oh, my hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, is that why you played that Deep Wound track, Dylan? Because I was like watching that go over, and I knew that you know it wouldn't go over as well.
You guys didn't appreciate that one?
I love Deep Wound.
Okay. I must have misread like what's going on in the chat, because someone said, yeah, not for me.
I think that was in regards to a specific Motorhead record.
We were talking about Motorhead.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's great. Let's talk about Motorhead, because I'm so glad that you included that, Dylan, because I think that it's easy to forget that bands like Motorhead and Metallica come from like a love of D beat. Really easy to like forget about that if you're like super into D beat. It's these super famous bands paid tribute to it while becoming huge.
I would say there is no DB without Motorhead. I think that Discharge was basically just trying to ape Motorhead for a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, like I said, like that record came out in 2002. We Are Motorhead.
Awesome.
Underappreciated.
Yeah. I can't believe it came out that late. It's so good.
Yeah.
That's how fucking good they are. Like,
man, they are
never so strayed from whatever that is, and you know, went on to influence so much of what we're listening to in this morning.
Tim, when I referenced something that wasn't for me,
mm-hmm.
it was a specific Motorhead record that Dylan recommended to me, and I just couldn't get past the lyrics at all. 1916.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know what? That record's incredible. I may have gone too far into the Motorhead canon, but that one's my favorite.
I wanted something like what you played that was just like full on like charging and like fun, and instead I felt like I should be ashamed listening to this.
Yeah. Okay.
It was not good.
No, that record's incredible. Fist,
Pat.
Yeah, that record's incredible, and you're wrong. I know
it was
there's
like
the one...
it was like Lemmy talking with bravado about his sexual life. It was just too much.
And the song Angel
that.
The song Angel City on 1916 definitely has like Aerosmith horns on it, but it doesn't matter. There's so many good songs on that record.
Hell yeah. What are some other Motorhead records for folks to check out?
Iron Fist. That's my favorite one.
Iron Fist is great. Overkill and Bomber, like that first run of like three up to like Ace of Spades is great.
I don't think I've ever actually just like sat and listened to Ace of Spades by Motorhead. It seems so silly, but
no, the whole record's sick.
Yeah,
that's good.
They're just one of those bands that like you immediately know like what Motorhead's about without even trying. So
Joey, are you a Motorhead guy?
Yeah, I enjoy Motorhead. Not something I put on regularly, but that song was fucking sick, and I want to check out that record. Because I always enjoy that, just the driving, like the way that the music just drives everything.
It's going to be cool. Like a year from now, I think we're going to be referring to them as WWE Hall of Fame band Motorhead. People have gotten into the WWE Hall of Fame for a lot less than what Motorhead did. They wrote so many songs for entrance music for Triple H, who's maybe the greatest of all time. Maybe.
Spoke at Lemmy's funeral. He was one of the...
Oh, wow. Did he really? Yeah. That's so fucking cool.
That is really cool.
That is cool.
Have you guys all seen Decline of the Western Civilization Part 2? The interview with Lemmy?
Yeah.
He's just like standing on a fucking mountain overlooking Los Angeles. And she's just like, what do you say to anybody who's like trying to just ape from you? And he's like, go for it. Like, I hope you sell records. That's the best.
Lemmy rules.
Yeah. And then Rat Cage is just, again, La Vida Es Un Mus. Can't go wrong.
Our favorite.
I'm surprised Patrick
label.
never heard that.
I checked them out at one point because I usually check out everything that they put out. And I don't know if I just wasn't in the right space listening to it. So.
Mm.
But that was a great song.
I picked that song because I have a friend who is not into D-Beat, texted me one day being like, oh, have you heard this record? It's fucking sick. And I was like, yeah, I'm glad that you like it. Normally I would try and show you stuff like this and you would tell me to fuck off, but.
That sounds like Vince Aguilar band, Rat Cage. Made me think of Vince.
Oh, shout out to Vince.
Dude, I think I'm going to go get tattooed by Vince in Champaign next month.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, go down there and get some flash, hang out.
Tell Vince we say what's up.
Yeah. I will. I love that Rat Cage song. That's one of the bands that I think I'll be doing a lot more exploration of. Because that song made me want to listen to every Rat Cage song.
Tim, before we wrap up, I the whole show, because we have Joey's songs to get to, but I definitely want to hear what your standout track was.
Like
the one.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, one. Should I like end of the episode if I had to pick one song?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, cool. I'll work on that. Yeah.
We should all do that. We should
guys,
all do that.
Yeah, this is a really good idea.
The best D-Beat song.
Hell yeah.
Best D-Beat song.
I think for me, I'm gonna come up with my favorite song for this episode of all the songs that were played. So I don't want to say like best D-Beat song, but that's what I'll be thinking.
All right, selection.
Joey, what do we got?
Before we go on to that, you guys, who would win in a fight, Lemmy or God?
Trick question.
There is
Lemmy
no God.
Is God. Lemmy is God. All right.
Perfect movie. Perfect band.
I just watched it. It still holds up.
Dude,
I watched it too. That. I shouldn't have watched it with my partner because it doesn't hold up that well. But I know that if I was watching it by myself, it held up great.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go and we're going to start with Tragedy. We referred to them earlier. This song is off their best release.
I agree.
Can We Call This Life? Yeah.
I also agree.
Three songs, Stadium 7
Crust.
Yeah, The Waiting. But this is not the best song titled The Waiting. That goes to Tom
Petty. That's Tom Petty, yes.
100%. But yeah, here's The Waiting by Tragedy.
Never heard of Tom Petty.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. That was ISS with Discharge It to the System. Before that was Flag Fetish by Public Acid, both bands from North Carolina. Before that, we heard Totalitar with Do Ska Strapas. And then we started off with The Waiting, which is the hardest part, by Tragedy.
When you started that, I was hoping that like I would hear a 12-string. Just like start playing that little lick. That's the best Tragedy record, you're right.
It is. It's perfect start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that it's just three songs.
That's about all the Tragedy I can take.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, I was talking some shit.
Whoa, buddy. Let's say, hey.
Sometimes that's just how it is. Yeah. You love something for 20 minutes at a time at most.
Damn, Dylan. This changes everything.
Why Tragedy when you can His Hero Is Gone?
Why? You know? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Why?
Why? Why? Why? Got a point.
Got a point.
I don't know. I think Tragedy, they're just completely different. I also love Billy's vocals, too.
I got into Tragedy before His Hero's Gone, which is probably why I've listened to them more.
Oh. Yeah, definitely makes a difference.
But, I mean, I love His Hero's Gone, too, so it's not like... But
like
what I've listened to more is definitely Tragedy.
They're more accessible.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
if you're totally coming from like, I'm new to punk, I feel like they're more accessible.
I think the first record, the first Tragedy LP, has like so many His Hero Is Gone elements still in it too.
Mm-hmm.
I think like the song Chemical Imbalance, where it's just, I think it's that song. Or it might have been like The Day After, where it's just like this crushing like sludge song. So good.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that I really like is when you're getting like the first of a new thing, when it really sounds like a lot of the last thing. Or when you get bands that are like coming towards their end and you know that there's another band that starts after, but you hear elements that are just like, you know,
there's
within
still
that,
a little bit of the DNA. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's
a really fun thing to have. And I think that, like, Tragedy versus His Hero Is Gone, there's a lot of great things about both bands. His Hero Is Gone, I think one of the bands that I look at is like, man, such a short period of time. They did so much and then they were done. And then with Tragedy, been a band for like, what, almost 20 years now, and you can follow along like the creative lives of a band over such a long period of time versus like what they did in such a short period of time. You know, it's really cool having both.
And then
you have Death Threat, which transcends both of them, so anyway.
Yeah. Well, speaking of them being around for a long time, what do you guys think of, what was it, Fury?
It's okay.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone back to it in a minute, but I liked it for sure. You know, I like Darker Days Ahead as well. I thought that was a crushing record.
It's so good.
Yeah,
it's
I think
so
it's
different.
Underrated.
Yeah, it definitely is. I was kind of a little disappointed that Fury didn't kind of keep going more in that direction. I feel like Fury was them trying to like do a return to form thing, and it's good, but it's just like not as good as the other stuff that sounds like it. I would have rather heard something a little like newer, you know?
Right.
I think of good. Fury in the same way I think of like that Home record that came out a couple years ago. There's that like 5-year stretch where you can really just like amass a day's worth of listening off of just records that came out. I mean, I guess it's longer than 5 years. Like, let's say you wanted to start at the new My Bloody Valentine record and then just work towards present, only listening to albums that came out after a long stretch of inactivity. That's kind of the way I think of Fury is like, man, that's like one of the better records that came after a long period of inactivity.
It's well put, Tim.
I'll have to check that out then.
Thanks. I really like that ISS track, Joey. I thought it was a cool combination of a lot of the shit that you are really into right now, a lot of the like electronic beats, and I thought that, that was just like awesome. It sounded so chaotic. That beat is so, it's mixed so high and it's so fucking gnarly sounding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that a lot. I thought it was a cool thing for you to add.
Yeah. I mean, ISS is one of my favorite bands right now.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And it's one of those things where it's like, they're one of the main reasons I'm kind of into that style of kind of like electronic stuff. It just like kind of like weird stuff. I met the dudes from that band on like one of the Broken Prayer tours, because we played with Whatever Brains, which was the band that those guys were in before ISS. And if you guys have a chance, check those records out. They're like dollar bin records, but they're fucking weird as shit. Like they were like way weird before everyone thought it was cool to be weird.
I mean, like, but the ISS are still fucking weird. I mean, so the ISS, two guys sample songs to make songs, correct?
Yeah, it's all samples from old punk records, right?
Yeah, whoa. It's all collaged together.
Wow.
And the best part is clever as fuck.
Yeah, the lyrics are so good. They're so funny. Like,
so funny. Like
that was cracking me up. That was cracking me up.
Yeah.
So fucking funny. What is it? The Armchair Aryan 7-inch?
Oh, yeah. That one's brilliant. So, dude, that's some of the best sounding stuff, brilliant. Too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah,
they're on some, like, they're on some Negative Land shit.
It's insane. It's insane.
I feel like ISS stock has like risen considerably in this conversation very quickly. That's fucking awesome to hear. I think that the fact that, going back to this thing about this like world, this like very very focused genre, the fact that you have somebody coming in and bringing a like electronic elements and saying this is D-beat just the same, very cool to hear your story, Joey, too, of like having those electronic tones, like, I don't know, they start to make sense to you in a way that makes you want to explore more. I think that's really dope.
Yeah, and that's like that's their only D-beat song, but yeah, it's just fucking like it sticks out. And anytime I think of D-beat now, I think of that song and kind of chuckle to myself, because it's hilarious, but also really really catchy. So
very cool.
I really want to applaud them on a different release of theirs, Spikes, with the Crocs on the cover.
Oh, so good.
This is
cracking me up. Also, Spikes is about spikes in COVID. It's too fucking
really
funny. Yeah, it's
that's
so
very clever. Okay.
They're so fucking clever. It's so stupid.
Funny. Yeah.
Best band. Public
this is
acid.
A very modern
that record
tip.
Rules.
Mm-hmm. The very modern tap. Yeah. That was my favorite track of what you played, Joey. I love
Public
that Public
Acid?
Acid. Yeah, that was fucking so good. Yeah.
That band is so fucking good.
They're similar to me with Kriegshagen, that like they pull from so many different things and created their own sound. It's so good.
Mm. You could definitely tell there's like the Japanese hardcore influence on the vocals, which I like.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just be shameless. It's fucking sick.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. I totally agree. And do we talk about Totalitar?
We didn't.
I thought that was great too.
More Swedish shit, man. Fucking
mm-hmm.
Sweden's like pretty well represented in this episode,
fucking,
I think.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Dude, all of our Guten Tagers out there.
fucking Totalitar, man. They've been doing it for a really long time. I think, Jim, you brought up in the chat that like a lot of the early stuff didn't really hit with you.
Yeah, it's not like I don't like it. It's just fine to me. Like there's not a lot of standout stuff. I could see if I heard it when it came out, or people that heard it when it came out, I could see why they're like their favorite band of all time.
No, you know what I mean?
But going back, I'm like, I don't know. If I'm looking for D-Beat, I'm probably not going to listen to this.
Well, that's...
But the newer stuff I actually like more, weirdly. Like that split that that song's off of, I think is great.
Right, that's kind of how it was with me too. Like the early stuff, I was like, I hear all these great things about this band. They've got like a great logo with some like good artwork that made me want to check it out. But like the early stuff wasn't really catching me. And so then I like didn't listen to it for a really long time. And then when like I went back and listened to some of like the newer stuff, like this split, I was just fucking blown away and finally got it, got what people were saying.
You know, I think a lot of their early stuff is being remastered and remixed and reissued right now. I know Prank is doing a few things. I think there's been a European label that's done a couple, like, kind of compilation releases of some of the early stuff. And you should check those out, because the reissues specifically, because they sound a lot better. And it might contextualize it differently.
So, it... Just since it hasn't been like mentioned explicitly, this band when they start in the '80s, and when you're saying newer stuff, we're talking about this Totalitar Disclose split that came out in 2001.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So that's a good place for people to start. You would say 2001 split with Disclose.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. That's a fantastic split too.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
How fucking the cool is that?
The Disclose split is awesome too.
Yeah.
Was that Dylan?
The Drop Dead split,
yeah,
Drop or Dead the
any of the Armageddon the Shop split. Ones,
yeah,
any of the
yeah,
Armageddon Shop splits that they had, like the Look
the
Back
v,
and
the
Laugh,
the VR with, Eliten LP two, mm-hmm. VR Eliten,
but like yeah, if you want to
sounds like a gaming headset,
if you just want to get into like D-Beat, those Armageddon records that came out, the splits like in the early 2000s, those are fucking awesome.
Yeah, those are great. Except the Drop Dead Look Back and Laugh one is certainly not DB. That's just great.
Yeah, but
yeah, that's
really good. That fucking Look Back and Laugh stuff is so fucking
good. So fucking
good.
That's best one band. Of my favorite splits of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, Look Back and Laugh. They haven't made an appearance yet. We'll have to.
They will.
I'm sure they will.
The greatest band ever. They will.
Sounds like y'all should think about doing a splits episode.
Ooh.
Ooh.
David Anthony and I did that for As You Were, and it was so much fun to compile. It was just really fun to fucking make a big list of splits and knock them all out, because what is better than fucking listening to something that's 12 minutes long?
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, there's split LPs too. I don't know. You could do a whole... You could do an episode of ranking the Drop Dead splits.
That's a good point.
That would be great. Yeah,
I love that Totalitar. I thought that was like, yeah, that's one of the bands that I'm like, yeah, anxious to listen to more of and learn more about.
All right, so everyone's favorite track before we close this out, Joey, go first.
Oh, fuck you.
All right, I can Dylan, go first. I'm ready. I have a list.
All right, do it, Tim.
Tim.
Okay, so I thought about this during Joey's presentation, and I thought I'd list some honorable mentions here, and then we'll get to my three stars of this episode. So I gotta give it up to From Ashes Rise and Tragedy, because for me that's like, I'd say my favorite little pocket of this world is that Stadium Crust stuff. And yeah, I want to big up those two bands, because they're probably they're two bands that I knew going into it. I knew about, I don't know, five of these bands, but and I want to give a shout out to Motorhead. We've started the official campaign for getting Motorhead into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2023 on this show, so they've got that going for them, which is almost as valuable as being one of my three stars. So my third star of this episode is Public Acid. That fucking kicked ass. We talked about it. I can't wait to listen to more of that. Second star, gotta give it up to the legends, Anti-Cymex. 1985 sounded like it came out yesterday. And my number one star, you can take it to the bank, Kriegschaug. Can't wait to go and listen to
Hell yeah.
all the Kriegschaug that's available from our favorite record label, La Vida Es Un Mas.
Moose.
La Vida Moose. Live Mas.
La Vida Live Mas.
As Dave Thank Navarro you. Would say.
That I need, because I can't keep track of like a name that's that difficult. So La Vida Live Mas.
Nice. Yeah, Tim, you should come back to Japan when Kriegschaug plays. They're a good time.
Dude, I've been thinking about coming to Japan so much.
It's borders are open back up, so you guys can come. Jim's already talking to me about it. So
amazing.
This is really tough. I'm gonna not choose any of the bands that I chose for this.
This is everyone should know. This is a big step for Joey.
It's down. Oh, geez.
Into the unknown.
I really like the things that I like. It's down between Disclose and Skid System.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not what I expected. Good choices.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go Skid System.
Hell yeah.
That's my favorite.
Okay. Great pick.
Skid System.
Yeah.
Jim, Dylan.
For me, honestly, the star of the show for me was the Motorhead song.
Hell yeah.
That was great. I haven't heard anything off that record before. I love Motorhead. That it was just so good. Just a classic Motorhead song, a classic D beat. Like, what more can you ask for? Runner up would maybe be that Inferno song. I've heard that record, so it wasn't as much of like a pleasant surprise. Motorhead was the one that was just like, whoa, this rules.
Sweet. I think Totalitar is my pick. I don't know what you guys are talking about with the early stuff not hitting you. Their first couple records are fucking sick.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Dylan. Preach it, brother!
But, yeah. But I am excited to check out more of Public Acid and, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I will give From Ashes Rise another. I'm the opposite of Tim. I'm not a big stadium crust person.
Give the split with Victims a chance. It's okay. Five songs. Five or six songs.
That's
it's
my perfect. Favorite stuff, by the
Very
way.
Very concise. Yeah.
Cool.
Similarly, I won't pick any of my songs. I will give another shout out to Motorhead as well, because again, that's what I was looking for when I wanted Motorhead, but being familiar with most of this stuff, I think what I was like, oh, I love this band is Kriegschaug.
Mm. Mm.
I love Kriegschaug.
Yeah.
So I gotta say, coming out of this episode, Motorhead and Kriegschaug looking fucking great.
Top echelon.
Yeah.
Top tier shit.
Stock is rising.
Yes.
Man, it's so cool that we were all here for the introduction of what should close every episode of this show. Just
rankings.
Yeah. Rankings.
Everybody
loves power rankings.
Everybody loves rankings.
People want to be judged, you know?
What better to do with art?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Then say we only
assign
have
meaningless
room for
value
two
to
things.
It.
So the last song that I chose is going to be our outro track is by Discharge. I'm going to say something. It might be blasphemous, but I think that I like Discharge's non-D-beat songs more than their D-beat songs.
I agree. I agree.
Ain't No Feeble Bastard.
Yeah, Ain't No Feeble Bastard is what came to mind.
Religion Instigates. Protest and
Survive. The whole Grave New World LP.
Yeah. The Off With Their Heads Split.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Isn't that so
bizarre?
I forgot
bizarre? About that.
Yeah.
That's so wild.
Like, how the fuck... And you know who plays bass on the Off With Their Heads side? Mike Watt.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, Mike Watt, I love you.
That split just gets more and more bizarre, like the further so you strange. Dig into it.
I think it's pretty cool that to hear that like some of your favorites are the less D-beat songs, because I think when you're a band like Discharge and you're, you know, you're doing this one particular thing, if you're gonna stray from that, you know that like the band members are really confident in the material. If you're gonna do something that's like not your fucking like trademarked thing, like I think that it's, yeah, there's a lot of fucking confidence in being able to do that.
I also think a lot of D-beat bands have those kind of like mid-tempo songs that break things up a little bit, mm-hmm. and they're as big of a part of all of those bands. Public Acid has a song on that Condemnation EP that is like a mid-tempo ripper, and it's just fucking awesome.
Like, yeah, you gotta have one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's a big part of the D-beat sound is to have those songs.
What's everyone's favorite Discharge record? I'd say mine is Hear Nothing, See Nothing, Say Nothing.
I'm a big fan of the 7 inches. Fight back. Fight back.
I like
for
Why.
Me, probably. Why is good.
Why?
I might put Decontrol as my top one.
That's a good one too.
Why is a really good record.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They got so many good ones.
It's all great. Not all.
It's all great in the way that all Misfits songs are great. Like, they broke up in, you know, the mid-80s or whatever.
Yeah.
In my head canon.
Well, I think we really got into the spirit of being charged today. Thank you all for playing along.
With this.
Thanks, Tim, for being so open to the beat.
This is my favorite episode that I've been a part of.
Hell yeah.
I think it's got a lot to do with just being in a great mood, but also like it's been really cool to get some fucking inside knowledge on this stuff, but also talk about the whole thing.
I also want to give a quick shout out to our DJ Cat Plaza, who had a good bit in that he thought this was a diss track episode. If he makes it this far, which I don't know if he will, because this isn't his cup of tea. Shout out to Mr. Pat Klaza.
All right, this last song is by... I was just going to do another disband. Wow. What were you saying? Dismemberment
you
plan?
You
fucked it up.
No, I was going to... I mean, yeah, whatever. Fuck you guys. I love you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. 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 Bye.